So I wonder, have you ever found yourself handed something and thought, I don't know that I'm ready for this? I think we've all probably had those kind of like in over our head moments in our life at some point. I can remember three specifically for me. I remember being 21 years old, a newlywed to my 19-year-old wife, and walking into our single wide trailer on the campus of Ozark Christian College there in Joplin, Missouri, with our $164 a month mortgage payment. And I remember thinking, oh boy, I don't know how ready I am for this. I have just shifted from, you know, being a young man living in my parents' house to now I am protector and provider of this mobile domicile, you know? And so this is now my role to take. I can remember a few years after that, whenever I was at the hospital and my wife had just given birth to our firstborn son, AJ, and they took that little baby and they put him in my hands. And I remember that moment very clearly, just like I remember the same moment 2 years later whenever they handed me my daughter for the first time. And the question, the thought that kind of rolled through my head was, wow, they really let anyone have one of these, don't they? I mean, it's like, this is crazy. There's no test. There's no license. There's nothing at all. There's just like, here you go. There you are. You know, there's no manual. There's no training instructions. They just hand you a tiny little human being and they're like, good luck, you know, and keep it alive. You know, we'll see you later maybe, you know. And I remember another time that I was in the basement at Villa Heights Christian Church there in Joplin, Missouri. And I was the new youth pastor there. And I remember looking at those 12 middle school and high school students right there just staring at me. And I was looking at them and they were looking at me. And it's like their faith, their questions, their future is all kind of in my hands right now. And then that verse where Jesus says, and it is be better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble, just kind of started rolling through my head. And it's like, I'm not as ready for this as I thought that I was. I think we've all probably had moments like that, right? You know, it was the promotion that maybe you got a little bit earlier than you probably should have received it. It was being promoted into the advanced class and finding out that you're not as advanced as you thought that you were. It is your coach calling you into his office and saying, you're the captain. You're the best player on this team. This team will only work as hard as you do. And so take the lead. And we all have had those moments to where we just kind of go, all right, I think I'm just a little over my head right here, have we not? Whenever responsibility shows up before confidence has even walked into the room. And we're just like, what in the world am I going to do with this? And so if you are watching online, if you're sitting here in this room and you've ever had a moment to where you have felt that, I got great news for you today. And it's this, the Christmas story actually speaks directly into those feelings that we've all had whenever we just feel like we're in over our heads. And specifically, whenever we look at the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, we're going to see just this idea of, you know, responsibility showing up before confidence ever did. And but yet God said, stepping into this story and providing her with everything that she needed. So if you got a Bible, let's get open to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, that's where we'll be today in week 2 of Unexpected Christmas, where we're just kind of looking at the Christmas story and seeing how it was a story where, you know, God used people that no one expected, and they had these ordinary lives that he was going to use in extraordinary ways. They were unqualified and unready, but God was not limited by what was limited them. His power was sufficient. Luke chapter 1. While you're looking it up, I'm just going to complain for just a second, so just listen to me. You know what the problem is with the Christmas story? This is so, I mean, I'm not looking for sympathy or empathy or any other ithy out there. I'm just telling you. So I've been preaching for 17 years every year, and it's been my responsibility to do a Christmas series every single year for 17 years. You want to know what? Story hasn't changed, right? It's the same one in the Bible that's been there the entire time. And so trying to come up with like, oh, hey, how are we going to like explain it this year? You know, how are we going to do this? And so it's such a familiar story that even if you're new to church watching for the first time, you've probably got like some idea, right? of what this story is about. You know that there's a manger, there's probably some shepherd somewhere, you know, there's a mom, there's a dad, there's a baby, there might be a barn, or maybe you go back and your brain starts to think about, you know, that nativity scene that your grandma had in her house, and it was so pretty and pristine, it was polished, it maybe even been made out of porcelain, you know, and we've got all these pictures in our head, and it's like, we start to think about this story, and what we picture is like, you know, this farmhouse that Joanna Gaines designed and like has decorated. And it's just like, it's peaceful. It's calm. You know, the horse is making the bed for the baby, bringing the hay over. And you got a dog with a bottle in its mouth and it's walking over to baby Jesus. Like, here you go. And you got Mary and Joseph, this little baby. And if you just watch just for long enough, you'll see a shooting star go across the sky. And we sing songs. It's like, no crying he makes. And it's like, oh, great, we found the one baby in the world that never cried, you know? It's like, we've got all these things, and it's like so sanitized. It's so just like Disney-fied before Disney lost their mind. You know, it's like this like Disney version of Christmas that's out there. And the problem with it is it's like it's over-romanticized. And that's not what happened. What happened is so raw, it's so real that if I came to you and said, y'all, I just watched the greatest show on Peacock, you know, or Netflix or YouTube or Hulu or Paramount or whatever it is that you want to, you know, want to subscribe to, you know, and do that. And say, I just saw the greatest show. Okay. It's crazy. It's like, there's this like teenage girl and she was engaged to this dude. She gets pregnant before they're married. And he's like wanting to bail, like just wants to leave, just wants to run away from her. But she convinces him not to run away. And so they stay together. But then, you know, it's like this weird government thing that is going on. And they got to go on this road trip. And they start heading out on this road trip. Oh, there's a dictator that's trying to kill all the baby boys in the area. And so they go on this road trip. And while they're on the road trip, like her water breaks and they can't find a hotel room, a hospital room or anything. So like throw her in like this cave. They throw in this barn. She gives birth there. And it's just like, it's a mess. It's crazy. I mean, it's just insane. And you would probably just look at me and just like, I'll stick with the Hallmark Channel. Okay. Because like, I just need a big town girl to come back to her small town and fall in love. That's all I need. Cause I'm stressed out enough. And that sounds way too stressful for me, but that's the Christmas story. That's the real story of Christmas. It is stressful. It is messy. And there is so much going on here. And as we look here in chapter one, hopefully you've had time to look up Luke 1 while I was complaining. And so, but verse 26 is where we're going to start. And we're going to see it doesn't begin with a birth. It begins with an announcement. And somebody's life is about to get turned upside down. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's aunt, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So let's just make sure we're setting the stage just real quick. So Mary, she's a teenage girl, 13, 14, 15. So we're just going to say 15 today, okay? 15 years old. She is betrothed to Joseph. If you were with us last week, you know that there is engagement in their world, engagement, betrothal, then marriage. So it's more than engaged, but it's not quite married kind of thing. And this angel just shows up to her and says, I've got good news, okay? I got good news for you. Now, at the very beginning, it says that Mary was greatly troubled, and Gabriel hasn't even told her anything. It's just that he has showed up, and that's causing a lot of trouble inside of her because an angel shows up. It is terrifying to her, but he says, I've got good news. You have found favor with God, which all sounds great, right? Everything sounds awesome. It sounds amazing, but she's wondering. She's pondering. Is this real? Am I hallucinating? What is taking place right here? She's not quite for sure, but it's here in her fear and confusion. We're going to start to see this thread that's going to run through this entire story. And it's just this, that God is not limited by what limits you. And Gabriel's about to show her this. So the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. If Mary was greatly troubled by the presence of the angel, her trouble just increased. Did it not? Because this good news all of a sudden didn't sound like great news anymore, does it? She is an unwed 15-year-old girl, and he is saying, you're going to be pregnant. I mean, you want to talk about all kinds of consequences that are just going to be hanging out there for her? I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, what is Joseph going to say? He could leave her. Now, it's very unlikely, but we just have to admit the reality of that day is it was punishable by death. It probably wouldn't have happened, but that's still going to linger in the back of your mind. It's like, I know they don't really do that to people, but what if they did that to me? I mean, then you start to think about just, well, what about the lifetime of whispers, the gossip, the shame, all those things? If she was greatly troubled before, she's even more greatly troubled now, isn't she? But the angel says, hey, I got good news for you. And she starts rolling on with all these names. Now, we don't have time to get into it today, but I need you to know something about this young girl. This is a young girl who knew her Bible. She knew it so well. If you go and you read the song that she's going to sing in Luke chapter 2, we call it the Magnificat. It is just layered with verse after verse and allusion after allusion from the Old Testament. This is a smart, faithful. She understands the scriptures. And so whenever Gabriel starts going through these names and he's like, he's going to be called Jesus, it's like things just start clicking for her immediately. It's like, Jesus, oh, you mean the Lord saves, because that's what his name really means. And he's going to be the Son of the Most High. It's like, oh my goodness, he's going to be the unique Son of God. It's like, he's going to have a throne. You mean he's the promised king, and he's going to have a kingdom that will never end. His rule will never expire. And so Mary's mind is automatically starting to spin, and she's going, wait a second, this is the one that we have been waiting centuries for. That this is the one who is God is going to use to finally fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham, to Jacob, to Isaac, and David. This is going to be the one. And Gabriel is sitting here going, Mary, listen to me. Your son is that one. Can you imagine just how terrifying that would be? Can you imagine just how honoring that would be? Can you imagine just how impossible that would feel? See, listen, she's been going to Saturday school. She's been going to Sunday school. She's been listening to the messages. She's been hearing the sermons. She knows there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament predicting the Messiah. She knows all of them. But I can promise you this, never in a million years did she ever think, you know what? I think I'm going to be the one that gives birth to that guy. Never in a million years did she think, you know what? I'm going to be the one that's going to feed him. I'm going to be the one that's going to teach him how to walk. I'm going to be the one that's going to kiss his boo-boos whenever he falls and scrapes his knees. I'm going to be the one that teaches him how to count using his fingers and his toes. Never once in her life did she ever think that. And I wonder if that's why two times Gabriel has to tell her, hey, you found favor with God. Greetings, you who are highly favored. Good, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Meaning, Mary, listen, God is for you. You are a recipient of God's grace. But church, don't you dare miss this today. Favor doesn't mean life gets easier. Because favor doesn't spare that awkward conversation with Joseph. Favor doesn't spare her from having to give birth in a barn, and favor doesn't spare her from all the whispers that she's going to deal with for years to come. But God was with her in all of it. Church, favor doesn't erase difficulty, but it does redefine it. Because it's through favor that we get to see God stepping into the impossible. And whenever he says, I'm here, I got you, you watch me work. So Mary is taking all of this in. And remarkably, she only has one question. She only has one question. She's like, okay, how will this be, Mary asked, since I'm a virgin? Never been with a man. Now, I want you to understand, this is not rebellion. This is not her rebelling against the angel. This is not her doubting what the angel has to say. This is a question of clarification, okay? This is a biology problem that she is working through right now, going, I don't understand how this is all going to work. I've never been with a man. You know, I had that weird fifth grade class where they came in and they showed us the slides. I understand how everything works. So tell me, how is this going to happen? Right? This is so weird. This is so weird. I was trying to think about a way, just like, this is how impossible it is. So I am almost 47 years old now, okay? Almost 47 years old. The last time I played organized football, I was in seventh grade at Carthage Junior High. I was 12 years old, and I was a backup linebacker on the B team of Carthage Junior High's football team, okay? Super high level, right? And so I haven't touched football, haven't put a helmet on. I'll throw a football every Thanksgiving. And then ice my shoulder for 6 weeks afterwards, okay? Kind of what it is. So here's what I want you to imagine is that the Atlanta Falcons, okay, a semi-professional football team in Atlanta, come on now, they call me and they're like, hey, Adam, our quarterbacks have gotten hurt. I mean, who could have seen that a quarterback that has torn both of his Achilles and he's like 38, 39, 52 years old wouldn't have made it through an entire season. We couldn't foresee, who could have seen that happening? And the kid that we drafted that had blown both of his knees out 12 different times, he got hurt too. And so we're kind of in this spot to where we need some help. And they're like, we were scrolling through social media and we saw that you look reasonably fit. And so we just thought we would reach out and just say, we need a quarterback. How about it? Do you feel like coming out and being our quarterback? And I'm like, I think I got a 5 yard out in me. Yeah, I think I can do that. And so they bring me in, they get me geared up, they teach me the offense, and lo and behold, we go on a run. Okay, and we make the playoffs, we sneak into the playoffs, we win the wild card round, we make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm throwing darts, man, 5 yards at a time, just nailing it. And then we make it to the Super Bowl. Halftime, we're up 28-3. What? What's the deal with those numbers? And we hold on and we win the Super Bowl. Yeah, we take them down. You can even beat the Chiefs. I even beat the Chiefs. Take them out because they're not making the Super Bowl this year. But, and so we've got all this. I win Super Bowl MVP. I get to say, I'm going to Disneyland. Okay, I get all of those things. I am the Super Bowl MVP leading the Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl. Hear me, hear me, hear me. I have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl, being the Super Bowl MVP as a 47-year-old dude who's never thrown a football farther than 5 yards, going to Disneyland, leading the way all the way. I have a better chance of all of those things than a virgin does of getting pregnant. Why? Biology. It's just how it works. And so Mary's just sitting here going, I don't understand. This isn't just hard. This is impossible. That's not how things work, man. But I don't think that Mary's question is purely biological. I actually think there's some emotional question going on there as well. I think it's more than, I don't understand the mechanics. I think it's, how could God use somebody like me? And church, I wonder how many of y'all have walked in today, and that's just a question that you've wrestled with over and over again. How can God use somebody like me? I mean, like Adam, I mean, my first marriage, it ended, it was just a train wreck. It was a dumpster fire. How can God use somebody like me? Adam, I mean, you don't understand the amount of addiction, the amount of things that I've just wrestled with. You don't know how much I've ingested. You don't know how much I've watched. You don't know all those kind of things. How could God ever use somebody like me? How could God use somebody like me? I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't know, God. I don't know how you could use somebody like me. How can this be? Well, I think the answer the angel gives Mary might be something good for us all to hear. The Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You want to know how this is going to be, Mary? That. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Other translations have it, for nothing is impossible with God. And listen to what Mary says. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Gabriel says, listen, sweetheart, there's nothing that's impossible for God. And I'm sure she thought, well, that better be true because this sounds crazy. But what she said is, I am the Lord's servant. She doesn't just hear what the angel says, she actually receives it. And in her heart, that doesn't mean that all of her questions, all of her fears, all the consequences, all the things that she's been wrestling with are just automatically or magically gone. But that's not what it is. She just says, yes. She doesn't get the details. She doesn't get the blueprint. She doesn't get any of it. She just says, yes, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said be true. And y'all, here's the thing. Here's the problem with the Christmas story. I'm going to tell you again. So easy to hear that and just nod our head, even say amen, and just go, oh, wow, that is such a great little story. And it is easy to forget that this is a 15-year-old girl who went from, how in the world is this going to be, to, may everything you said be true about me. And that requires big faith and big trust in God's plan, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it is nothing that she expected, even if it is just completely off the rails from what she thought it would be. Because here's a huge truth, friends. It's this: if God has a plan, then even when it doesn't make sense, it makes sense to go with him anyway. Whenever God has a plan, even if it doesn't make sense to you, it always makes sense to go with the plan that God is revealing to you, because nothing is impossible with God. And her story didn't make sense. Your story may not make sense either, but Christmas reminds us of something that we forget far too easily. God steps into real stories, messy stories, confusing stories. And so even if your story doesn't make sense to you, I promise you this. It's not falling apart in his hands. He's there. He's already working. So let's ask the question, what do we do with our impossible? What do we do with the impossible that we are feeling right now? We've all got different impossibles that we've brought in. What do we do with our impossible? Let's use Mary as a template for us. What's the first thing that she did? We're going to bring it to God. That's the first thing we do. We bring it to God. That's what we do with our impossible. What is it? Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a financial reality. Maybe it's a relationship, a dream that's dead, a calling that you just feel absolutely unready for. Okay, bring it to God. What is your impossible? What is that thing that you're going, how can this be? I don't understand how this is all going to work. And I want you to understand, just asking that question isn't a disqualifier. It is your starting line. It's not the end of a conversation, but the beginning of a conversation. And so what do? We're gonna bring it to God. We're going to be honest. We're going to be open. We're not going to minimize the impossible. We're not going to over-spiritualize it. We're not going to pretend like it's not a big deal. But with open hands, we are going to tell the truth to God. I mean, Mary didn't hide her confusion, did she? She named it. How can this be? I don't understand. How is this going to work? I'm a virgin. I don't understand. How am I going to give birth to a kid? I love what the missionary Elizabeth Elliot said. She said this: faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take them. See, faith doesn't mean that you stop asking questions, but it does mean that you stop running from God with your questions. You take them to the Lord. How can this be? Because your how can this be isn't something to fix, but it is something to bring to him. That's the first thing she does. She brings it to God. Here's the second thing she does, is we're going to lean into God's power, not our capacity. Mary begins with her capacity. How can I do this? How is this going to work? But Gabriel almost immediately shifts it and says, hold on here. This is not about you. This is what God's power, it's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Because the miracle isn't about what Mary can do, but what God is going to do through her. And so that's why between verse 34 and 38, there's this massive shift in her heart. It's not that her fears are gone, but that she's choosing now, which thoughts am I going to allow to land in my brain? Okay? What am I going to ponder on? There's a professor who used to work at Chicago O'Hare as an air traffic controller way back in the day before we had all the tech that we do now. And so they had to make split-second decisions about which plane was going to land and when and all those other kind of things. And this is what he said, reflecting on that later. He said this. He said, you can't control every thought that flies into your mind, but you can choose which ones you allow to land. Mary's thoughts. What's Joseph going to think? What are people going to say? Is this really going to, how am I going to survive all this? Those are all the things flying around in her head. But she is the air traffic controller of her own mind, and she chose one thought to land on, and it was God's promise. Nothing is impossible with God. She refused to allow her fear to dominate her. And I know that's so easy to just say because we all deal with our fears. I mean, we all do. We've all got fears that we wrestle with. There's probably three broad categories. These aren't in your notes, but if you want to scribble them down, here are the three broad categories of fears. We all wrestle with the fear of failure. What if I try this and it doesn't work? We all deal with the fear of rejection. What if I do this and people walk away from me? We all deal with the fear of not being enough. What if I just can't do this? And those are the fears that fly around your head and my head all the time. And we have to choose which thoughts we are going to allow. And so when fear tells you who you aren't, you let God's favor tell you who you are. Amen. And when those anxious thoughts fly in, you just go, God, this is beyond me, but it's not beyond you. And we stop asking, how can I? And we start asking, what can God? We're going to change the question. So what are we going to do? We're going to bring it to God. Then we're going to lean into God's power and not your capacity. And then what's the last thing we see Mary do? It's this, is she says yes before she sees how. And so we're going to say yes before we see how. She says, I am the Lord's servant. There's no negotiation. There's no conditions. There's no even like the super spiritual, can I pray about it for just a second? There's none of that. It is just, hey, I'm the Lord's servant. She says yes before she sees how. She doesn't get clarity. She doesn't get certainty. She just surrendered before she understood how everything was going to go. And friends, that's what stepping out in faith looks like. Because trust begins where certainty ends. This is how it works. And often what you and I want, we want the opposite, don't we? I don't know about you, but I would much rather see before I step. I would much rather have clarity before I commit. I would much prefer having the whole map instead of just the next turn. But that's not what faith does. Faith just says yes to the next step. Because trust begins where certainty ends. And I love that Mary and Joseph both did this. They both said yes before they saw how. So what is your yes that needs to be said? Some of y'all, there's some forgiveness that you need to extend. Others, there's an invitation that needs to be given. Some of y'all, it's serving and getting up out of your seat and actually doing something. It's giving and giving your first and your best. It can just be letting go of control and just realizing that there's not a lot that we can actually control in this life. See, what you and I are doing is we're waiting to see how it's going to work out. But what God is doing is he's just waiting to see if you're going to say yes. May everything you have said about me come true. I love that. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's not may some of the parts come true. May the easy parts come true. Everything. And church, that's the kind of yes God is looking for. So what are we going to do with our impossible? We're going to bring it to God. We're going to name it. We're going to not hide it. We're not going to pretend that it's not real. We're going to lean into his power, not our own capacity. And then we're going to say yes before we see how. And we're going to keep taking next faithful step. Because the bottom line is this, God is not limited by what limits you. He is not limited by the things that limit you or me. Nothing is impossible for him. So my challenge to you this week would just be this. Identify your impossible and just say, God, I trust you with this. So what is that thing? Now you, in your mind, are just going, this is impossible. What is that thing that keeps you up at night? That just kind of keeps you awake? You're no longer able to sleep because it's just mulling over in your brain. It's over and over. God, this is impossible. I don't know what we're going to do. This diagnosis is not what we thought it was going to be. I don't know, God, how we're going to get our finances in order. God, I don't know what we're going to do about our kid that's off the beaten path and he's walking away. She's walking away from you. God, I don't know what we're going to do about this marriage because we just don't get along anymore. I don't know how we're going to even get back to where we need to be. God, this feels impossible. You name that thing. You say it honestly, and then you just say, God, I trust you with this. And then you just take that one small step of obedience this week. You don't have to take the entire journey this week. You just take one step. Because God is not limited by what limits you. You know, the reason why Gabriel can say to young Mary, don't be afraid, is because God is about to do something that only God can do. And so it's kind of God's way of just saying to Mary, just watch me do the impossible through you. And that impossible goes all the way to the cross, to where what is impossible on our own, making ourselves right, cleaning ourselves up, getting ourselves to a place to where God says, oh, I accept you because of just how good you are. It's impossible. What was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to do to take away our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And we receive grace, we receive forgiveness, we receive hope, we receive the promise of an eternal life. It's impossible on your own. But nothing is impossible with God. And so this morning, if you have never said yes to Jesus and never said, God, I want you to wash me from the inside out, make me white, make me new, make me clean, then today as we sing this song, our prayer partners will be at the sides over here. They love nothing more than to pray with you, to talk with you about what God is doing in your life. Maybe today it's just you're having your own how can this be kind of moment, and you're just struggling and you're just wrestling. I don't understand. This feels impossible. And you just need somebody to lay hands on you and just pray, and just maybe even you get to hear these words, don't be afraid. For God's favor is available to you. So, Lord, today we are asking that you would calm the anxious heart. That you would remind every single one of us in this room that you are not limited by the things that limit us. That there truly is nothing too difficult for you. And so, Father, for the person who needs to take a step of faith, just that next step, I pray that you would give them the courage to step forward and say, may everything that you desire for my life be made true today. In Jesus' name.